Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. I want to welcome you to the next phase with Ice and Friends. And I'd like to start it off by saying comments and views and opinions expressed during this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the sponsors, the host, or Blog Talk Radio. This week's special guest I'd like to introduce you to will be Miss Upfront Blunt, a young lady who's finishing her second bachelor's degree. First one was in law enforcement, and she'll correct me on all this if I have any of it incorrect. And the second one is in human resources. And if that's not enough, she started her own business, and of which she is CEO, which entails preparing formerly incarcerated individuals to reenter society and make positive contributions by involving those who are willing in closely in monitored counseling programs to deal with their addictions. Also, she has established programs to assist families who are having problems daily with such things as home foreclosures, loss of transportation, and all associated potential problems. If you're wondering, the answer is yes. They could use your assistance, physical and or financial, or either. So if you have the time and to share, please take this as an invitation to participate. And if you do not have the time to share physically, please accept this invitation to assist individuals and families in dire need by sharing your financial resources. And with that said, let me see if I can find. She'll be calling through here in just a few minutes, I'm sure. We just had a conversation, and I'll be looking forward to her calling in. But in the meantime, let me go ahead and express this to you as well while I have the mic. I want to welcome you all, as a matter of fact. And the number to call in if you have any questions and or comments, 347-945-7040. And the purpose of this program, which is the next phase with the Next Phase Radio Show, is to address community concerns, which include developing ways members in the community can increase their ability to acquire more income for themselves, if that's what your desire is. In addition, members also will learn various methods of gaining political strength and relevance. You know, audience, if you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, that's one concern that I am really going to be involved more and more in the future, such as stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, reassessing the significance of a spiritual impact in this society, or investing the best possible means or boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to mention. Just join us right here on the Next Phase, Thursdays, 7 to 8:30 p.m. with Ice and Friends. And we'll also have, at some point in time, musical segments, interesting guests, of course, which is to say that we have one tonight, and comments from our listening audience. Last week, I want to thank Ms. Panadia for blessing us with her genealogical program. She provided us with some information in regard to following your genealogy and tracing out your ancestry for any number of reasons. If you want to locate some family or friends that you may not have realized that you had, or if you have some medical reasons that, you know, having to find the knowledge of those friends or family members are, you know, where you might have some matches for different situations that you might be involved with, that's where that genealogy would come into play. And hopefully she'll be back with some more information on that also. We also have had in the past Brother T.L. Harris, who's provided us with information in regard to musical history in the U.S., especially in our community, the African-American culture, as well as some other guests, and hopefully my guests will call through. But I'll be right back here in just a second.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. as I turned up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat. This wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them?
I was hoping my guest would have called through by now, but I guess she's having some technical difficulties. I just talked with her on the phone a few minutes ago. And anyway, hopefully she'll get a chance to give us a call through. We'll be looking forward to hearing from her. And anyway, so there are some news issues and that I would like to address. And as I allow that time for my guest to come through, and I'll be looking for her. And as soon as she dials through, I'm hopefully I'll get a chance to get her on the line. You're listening to The Next Phase with Black Ice and Friends. And I'm glad you're here. And if you want to give us a call through, call it 347-945-7040. You're online? Okay. She's online, but give me a call right here. Call me at this number, okay? 347-945-7040. If you'll call through at that number, I can get you online, okay? And I'll be waiting for you when you get a chance. 347-945-7040. Okay? And hopefully she'll be coming through here in just a little bit. She's going to be giving me a call, so I'll be looking forward to getting that call from her, and we can have a discussion about her program that she's initiated to assist people who may be having some difficulties, especially in our community in these days and times, and all other communities, actually. I think her program, her outreach is transcendent, so to speak. It transcends any barriers of religion or... That's it, exactly. 347-945-7040. I don't see you. You're on the phone. I don't see you, though. And I usually, if you give me a call at that number, you might hang up and try again, because for some reason it's not coming through. Huh? Yeah, I know your number, but I don't see you calling through here. It says no caller. Let me try something right quick. Maybe I've done something wrong. Let me try something right quick and see if this will work. That'll clear up my switchboard. Oh, there I got some calls. I had to clear up my switchboard. I got a couple calls. Now I'll get to you 615 and 215, and also give me a call back. And I'm looking for your area code, 484. Give me a call back. I must have made a mistake. There you are. All right, I have you now. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful. Hello, Up Front and Blunt. How you doing? I finally made
it.
You're making me look real new. Hey, I got some callers. I think they want to... You want to just go ahead and take some calls, and then we'll get into... your program and so forth. Maybe the callers will drive some questions for you. Would that be okay?
Sure.
All right. Let me take 615. Would you go ahead, 615, if you have a comment or a question for Upfront and Blunt?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to show support. This is Mobile. And
hey, welcome. How you doing, Mobile? Thank you for calling through, bro.
All right, man. Thank you for having your show on.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. You know, the guest, I tell you, Upfront and Blunt. Upfront, would you give Mobile a little bit of information about your program? Do you mind telling where it's located? I always keep my guests, and I allow them to exercise their own anonymity. If they choose to, they can divulge their information, but I leave that up to them. So can you hear me, Upfront?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
How you doing, Mobile? I know him. He's one of my greatest supporters.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm glad Yeah. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm tickled.
Now,
one of the things, if I can, I want to just talk about something real brief about SMART.
Okay, great. Mobile hung up. I don't know what.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, is a nonprofit organization out of Pennsylvania. I've been providing services to single mothers with children for about 15 years. And I decided to go and take it to another level. So right now we're in the process of opening a treatment facility for single mothers that are suffering from abuse, meaning spousal or drug, homelessness, ex-felons, and et cetera. So we're providing some services right now to about 104 women that are in Chester, Pennsylvania.
Wow,
and,
that's beautiful.
Yeah. And we go to their homes and we talk to them about coping skills, parenting skills, health issues, relapse prevention, violence prevention. One of the biggest components that I find with a lot of single women, they're complaining about abuse. And throughout Delaware County, and including Philadelphia County.
Wow.
Every minute there are 10 women that are being abused.
How many?
10.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, may I interrupt you for a second? And let me...
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And pardon me my rudeness. But, you know, my beautiful sister, India DeClaire, is online, and I'll give you her particulars, and maybe she'll get a chance to have you on her show. But she has a show that's on 10 a.m. Monday through Saturday. And
okay.
That's Central Standard Time. And she is dynamic. And now, Noodles, I want to say thank you, Noodles, for being in the room. And thank you, what was his name again? Mobile.
Mobile.
Thank you, Mobile, for
mm-hmm.
calling through. Now, you know, let me invite a couple of guests. They've been holding on for a little bit. And
okay.
And I'll get to my question here and because you're going to, we'll be on until 8:30, okay? Black Magic.
Okay.
Woman says she can't get on. 215, can you hear me?
Hello.
Eric, how you doing, 215?
Hi. How are you? How's everyone this evening?
Oh, great. Welcome
Hi,
to the,
how
welcome
are
to
you?
The chat. Appreciate you calling.
My name is Ginger. I'm out of Philadelphia.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
And what I wanted to speak to is what a great thing this organization is, because there are a lot of opportunities out there for men who are coming out of these situations, but there are not a lot of opportunities for women. And why I think it's so great is because women educating women, teaching them life skills, teaching them how to be a mother, how to be a wife, how to be a woman, how they need to carry themselves. And it's just an overall program of self-development that I think that we need in our urban communities.
Wow, that is beautiful. Absolutely. It is without doubt needed in the urban community. And, you know, my point is I'm just so excited and so appreciative and so humble and honored to have this sister up front and blunt, take the initiative to provide the service, and I thank you for being you're in Pennsylvania, I assume.
Pennsylvania. Yes.
And for you recognizing that, and you know, I've had a thought, and I discussed it somewhat in a chat room the other night, that I'd like to have several shows with the ladies, because I have daughters and. One of the things that I've run into in the communities that I've been in Texas has been single female head of households. And due to the social situations, the social orientations or, indoctrinations that we've gone through, you know, and me included, I've not been a good guy all my life, and I am forever regretful and apologetic for some of the ways that I've been in my life. But, you know, our sisters have been abused, and they need a way to have some encouragement, validation, and some perspective and vision to the point that they can begin to ascend to the levels and heights that they rightfully should have always been on. You know what I'm saying? And
I wanna,
as they
oh.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to thank Ginger for calling in. I really appreciate her input. Thank you very much. But you can, he's calling me upfront and blunt because that's the name on the internet. But you can, most people know me by Rabia. And
that's what I call you.
It doesn't matter.
You know, I don't mind Rabia.
It doesn't matter. One of the things that I really like about SMART is that we're building a facility for women and children to be housed together with the drug and alcohol aspect of the treatment that we provide, because I've always felt that since the children were with their mother and they were suffering with their mother while she was going through her addiction, that it was just as important that the children be with their mother through their recovery. And one of the stipulations about, hopefully we'll be opening up the SMART House in December of this year, and that is one of the stipulations, that it has to be the mother with the children. And we also have other entities with single mothers with no children, but we like to focus on the children, because what I find and what I found out through some research is that while the mother is getting treatment, the children are still suffering. So she may be going through a treatment process of being clean, being free from drugs, for 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, but those children that were dragged through the mud, that went through all of the harshness and bitterness with their mother, they also deserve a chance of watching their mother become their mother again.
Right, exactly. That's beautiful.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to invite another individual on here. 215 has been holding on for a while. No, that was 215. Let's see, which? 717. Let me invite 717 on. If you have a comment, 717, can you hear us?
Oh, I'm just supporting Sister Rabia here.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for calling. Go ahead with any comment that you may have.
I just learned about some of the activities of SMART, and I've been really impressed with the program, and I have a vision for it expanding its service delivery.
Exactly. You know, I mentioned to her if she would consider Texas as a point of expansion. That's a long ways from Pennsylvania, but you know, because the need is just so tremendous, because we have to rebuild our community. I mean, and you know, it's going to be one person at a time, and the concept that you have of repairing the entire family, which is a holistic approach, to me, the way I look at it is, if you have a wound, and it's a deep wound, and you get it all cleaned up and you get it bandaged, you can't stick it back in a cesspool, because it'll get reinfected. And if you take the children or the mom or whichever, and you put them, either one, back into a situation that's not going to be healthy for them, then they'll become reinfected. But they will learn to support each other. I went through a treatment program for 28 days myself, and my family at the time, they were involved with me going through it, the healing process of it, and it's so significant. And I cannot tell you enough, Rabia, Sister Rabia, how deeply appreciative that I am and how humbled and honored that I am that you would provide us with this information and incentive, because you've taken it beyond the thought process and you've actually initiated it along with the other family things that you have to do with your family, along with the other, the job you're employed on, a regular job, and with also, you know, getting yourself another degree.
Great.
And then being a CEO of a business, and not to to suggest to build you to I don't know how to say it, but what I'm trying to say is that I'm just very humble and appreciative that you would provide us with this information and incentive. So,
and could I say one more thing? You bring
that, all
right? I'd like to
also,
yes, I'm still
Sister
here.
Rabia?
Oh, is she there?
Did I inadvertently hang up? No.
No, that's 717.
Are you still
here?
She was saying
something.
Yes, 717
is here.
Yes, 717 is here.
My callers. Let me try 267. Are you here? 267, can you hear me?
Is that 267?
This is 717 here.
Well, let me try something here again.
I don't know.
717.
For some reason, they can't hear me.
Yeah,
717.
Yes, 717.
I'm hearing everybody, but I don't know if everybody's hearing me.
Can anyone in the chat room hear me?
I hear you, 717.
I hear
that. Can
I
you
hear
continue?
Yes, I was about to say that one good thing about programs.
Rabia, are you here?
I don't think she's there. He can't hear me.
So none of the callers, no one in chat.
Oh, wow, that's too bad because I'm here. Rabia.
Yes, I hear you, 717.
And
I hear everybody.
I
think
he hears me.
Okay, 111, what is that? 111, can you hear me?
717, can you continue?
Okay.
Yes, I was going to say
let
that.
Me, I'll tell you what I'll do is,
this is
let me close out all the
a
calls. And
good time for
call back. Because I can't hear anyone for some reason. I'm having technical difficulties. And,
okay.
Sister Rabia says I keep cutting out. Well, maybe I'm not sure what to do at this point. Can, let me see. Hang up. Okay, maybe this is it. Let me see. Do this. Okay, do this. Do this. Okay. Now, can you hear me, 267?
I hear
Rabia,
you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Let's see what she's saying. Ah, okay, I'm cutting off. Let me. I can't hear anything on my end, so I'm having some difficulties here. Tell you what, let me call back in and see if I can't reboot this thing. Maybe it's me. Let's see what. I'll call back in and I'll try to. You're in and out, okay. But let me try to reboot this thing and I'll try to get right back on the air as soon as possible. Sister Rabia, I'll give you a call back or let you give me a call back here in just a few minutes. I'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
Wanna make a change for once in my life.
Broken bottle top and what meant so. They follow each other on the wind and know, cause they got nowhere to go. And the white no one yet to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no nothing's gonna bend any clearer. If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change.
Okay, Sister Rabia, can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear static, though.
Yeah, I think it's my cell phone. Let me turn it off.
Okay.
And plus, Michael's in the background. I can't get him turned off. I think what I had was too many calls a minute ago, and so I had to cut somebody off, and I never had run into that before. So, but anyway, I'm so sorry, and I'm much... very much apologize to the audience that we had those technical difficulties. But okay, thank you, Sister Emily DeClaire. Appreciate it. But anyway, Sister Rabia, if you would go ahead, can you hear me over Michael Jackson?
I can hear you some over Michael.
Okay, I can't get him to stop playing. If I try to get him to stop, he'll just and
can
I don't
you turn
know how
it
to
down?
No, that's what I'm having a difficult. That's what I'm having a problem with. If I hit the stop button, it'll restart eventually. So what I try to do is, if you could go ahead and speak over. Could we reschedule you just in case to come back again? Can we reschedule you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe in a week or two, whichever. Next week would be fine because I don't have anyone scheduled for next week. Or whichever would be fine for you, whichever way you can make time for me. I'd greatly appreciate it, and hopefully I get some of these difficulties ironed out. But I think what happened was that I added too many callers, and I should have hung up on someone. And but right now I think 267 is still on the line.
Oh, okay.
And let me try them right quick.
Okay.
267, can you hear
us? Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry for the music. It'll have to go off here in a few minutes.
That's okay. I'm Rabia's niece.
Oh,
my name is Rabia. Yes.
Hey, Rabia.
Hey, I'm Rabia. I just wanted to come and just make a quick comment before I hang up. I just wanted to let her know how proud I was of her, and that the direction that she's going in is very... very genuine. She's always been a family-oriented person. She's always been very sweet and caring. She helped my father raise me. So I'm speaking from experience and knowing her all these years. I'm 26 years old, and she's still the sweetest person, the most genuine person. And I'm very proud that she's doing this, and I am just I'm just happy for it. That's all I want to say.
And thank you so much. And I definitely can understand that adoration that you have for your aunt. She's a wonderful person.
Yes, she is. Very wonderful person. Always has been since I was a baby.
Are you helping her with the program?
I'm doing what I can. I'm trying to. I know she sends me text messages saying she's in a newspaper, or just now she told me she was in a radio program. And I helped her with a school drive one time. And, you know, so I'm just here. Whenever it calls, I'm just doing what I can in my schedule. So, yeah, I'm definitely 100% supporting whatever she does. Whenever her building is up and running, I'll be probably there working for her if I'm still around. So, yeah, I definitely support her 100%.
You were saying that you were involved with a drive. Rabia, what kind of drives do you have? Because if you ever want to use this facility, you're more than welcome to.
Well, we did a back to school drive this time last summer.
Hmm.
We did a back to school drive. We gave out a lot of school supplies, book bags, you know, things like that that the children needed for going back to school, which was really, really nice. And Wadia was a huge help. And it went off pretty well. You know, she's very supportive. And I thank you for your kind words.
Oh, of course. They're all from the heart.
You know, now, what size you're addressing what did you say your name was, ma'am? The 267?
Wadia. W-A-D as in Donald, I-A. It's like Rabia, but
right.
Wadia.
I have it. And
yeah.
you said y'all were, let me get this right again. Y'all, you have how many people in your program? 102?
We're right now providing support and workshops along with some seminars to single women with children that live in an apartment complex in Chester, Pennsylvania. So we go there once a week, and we provide support, answer questions. We do a seminar on parenting, coping skills. In 2 weeks, we're going to do a program on money management, relapse prevention, engaging them in different type of life skill trainings. You know, you'd be surprised how many single women with children have no idea how to take care not only of their children, but to take care of themselves. So I'm teaching them how to love themselves so that they will be better equipped with the tools that SMART provides that will enhance them to be better mothers, better sisters, better aunts. You know, I find that a really big problem is that we don't love ourselves enough because a lot of women are being beat down so bad, and we have so much stuff on our plate that we don't take the time to love ourselves. So how can we show love to our children and to our other loved ones? So that's another component, which is another whole component that SMART provides.
Right, exactly. You know, as you were saying that, my thought is that as that mother becomes stronger and that family unit becomes stronger, and I'm sure that it a lot of it has to do with the various ages of those of her siblings. I mean, not her siblings, of her children.
Mm-hmm.
The various ages, because some who are younger have a different need than those who are a little bit older. and
mm-hmm.
you know, and so some of the older ones can also, if, and I'm sure that, you know, I know that you have ways of addressing this, but I'm just suggesting that some of the older ones may have been developing some habits or whatever that
sure.
they would also need to be, you know, require a little bit more attention. Is that
can
right?
Can I mention?
Yes,
that's absolutely right. I just want to mention that I'm in partnership. I joined up with another organization out of Delaware called Robinson and Associates, and they provide services to men coming out of prison as far as training them for jobs and how to show them how to fill out resumes and how to fill out applications. And we do, SMART does the women aspect of it. I just wanted to mention Robinson and them because we, Robinson and Associates, because we work close together. And where SMART does the women and children part of it, Robinson and Associates does the men part. So also the reason why I wanted to mention that is that during this process of SMART doing the men, women and children, and Robinson and Associates out of Wilmington, Delaware, doing the men, we're trying to get some of these families to reunite.
Right.
We're pretty big on reunification because we've been divided, and that's another story about these families trying to get together these families to reunite. And even though we're providing services for the women and children, the men also play a part in that as well. You know, so
right.
there's a whole unit there.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? Okay.
You know, I want to tell you before Ray Dog leaves. Ray Dog says, and he said he has to take his son to practice. Please let sis know we are supporting her.
Thank you. Thank you. I think he's out of California.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He had said earlier.
I think he's in California.
Yeah, he had said earlier, and I was having all that problem, that he said he loves him some. He said, I love me some Rabia.
Yeah, he's a very positive supporter. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's
and,
good.
And welcome, Didi Hen. Welcome to the room. And you know, you were saying about the men having treatment. Now, let me ask you this. You know, the strangest thing about it is that, you know, society actually, and this is not within your purview, I'm sure, but society itself is not very conducive for people, the family structure, for any number
right.
of reasons. And
right.
I'm wondering, are you receiving any participation from the law enforcement community or the local chamber of commerce or any of the social organizations, the Kiwanis or the Rotaries or any of those guys? Have any of those or any of the church organizations, I mean, are those people willing to take a look at what you're doing and to assist you in your endeavors? And I'm just, I know that there's a potential that you are totally self-contained, and I was just wondering if they were, while you're helping to repair the families, are they helping to repair the communities that the families exist in?
Well, in helping the families are the community. So it's kind of, it kind of goes side by side, you know, because
right.
without the families, we will have no communities. And so
right.
that's why we engage with, I just met with a collaborant of reverence for Chester County
okay.
about maybe two months ago. So they're supportive. The mayor of Chester, the state representative of Chester, Thaddeus Kirkland, they're all very supportive.
Wonderful.
The Chamber of Commerce, I've registered with them. They're supportive. You know, they always send me newsletters, questions if I need anything, what are we doing now? Some of the schools, I've been in contact with some of the schools.
Oh, excellent,
Two of the universities out here in Delaware County, I've touched bases with them and let
mm-hmm.
them just informing them of this is what we're bringing to the community. And everyone that SMART has contacted has been extremely supportive. The Delaware County Times, the newspaper that did the interview for SMART and for several other organizations that we were down there campaigning for the end of violence in Chester, Pennsylvania. Yeah, and so we're trying to touch all the bases that we possibly can,
you know,
to rebuild what has been shut down and let down for so very long. And I have faith. I have faith in God, number one, and also have faith in the contact people and the communities and the businesses. I have faith that everybody is going to come through.
Right, right. Yeah, because, you know, practically speaking, you know, it's a win-win, in my opinion, for the entire community because where you have the expense of you know, when the family's torn apart, then the children tend to find themselves in some very adverse situations and very likely they have to engage in, you know, the penal system in some shape, form, or fashion, you know, and eventually they'll get into the need for the lawyers, the bail bondsmen, and, you know, those, you understand this, and so, but once those guys are provided a vision and their family expectation begins to change so that they can see beyond their current set of circumstances, they can see that there is a certain value to their life. And there is some way. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying absolutely.
You know, and that to me is you know, because a parent coming from an environment that has been very challenging is not just a word that has the right amount of emotion involved with it. It's been literally almost devastating where you have young mothers that were, you know, in I would suggest some instances they were unwed initially.
Right.
And so whenever that happens, then their whole entire dynamic changes because initially they were involved in school. They at least were exposed to a learning process, whereas whenever they have that child, then that child begins to take up and consume, you know, the majority of their life. And then I'm sure, just based on, you know, my observation, is that they don't feel as though they because they're almost like castaways anymore. You know,
right.
There's no one, and that's what I think. My perception of your service is. And it comes from a caring heart, not just the mechanics. You know, a lot of therapeutic organizations, clinically they had a capacity to provide information and incentive, but they don't have that inner instinct that suggests that this is not only, you know, written in a book and it's clinical, but they can apply it from several different perspectives and dynamics of associating, you know, soul to soul, so to speak.
Right.
You know, because...
Can I...
I'm sorry, yes.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted... Something just came to my mind that what I do is all dedicated to my mother who passed away.
Okay.
I think it's been about 7 or 8 years now. I try not to even keep count. But she when I was about, I want to just share this story.
Please, thank you.
When I must have been about 14, and my parents received a phone call. We lived in Philadelphia. My parents received a phone call that there was a Cambodian family that came straight off the boat. Mm-hmm. And they needed somewhere to stay. They didn't have any clothes and so on and so forth. So my father had an apartment building. He went and picked them up and took them to the apartment building, and he said, I couldn't leave them there, so he brought them to our home.
Right.
And it was a mother and three or four children. And
right.
my parents took them in and cleaned them up, you know,
right.
clothed them. That next morning, I don't know how it is in Texas, but in Philadelphia, they used to have those tall telephone poles
right.
with the lines. And
right.
You know how children throw sneakers over
right,
them?
Right, right, right.
Well, these children, the Cambodian children, climbed up the pole. We don't know how they got up there and got the sneakers.
Wow.
And that next morning, we saw them with the sneakers. And we was like, where did they get sneakers? And we figured it out. And they didn't know how to go to the bathroom. So after a few days, we were trying to figure out how were they going to the bathroom, because we never saw them going into the bathroom. But they went out in my parents' yard and dug a hole.
Wow.
And they used the leaves from the bushes to clean
wow.
themselves.
Yeah.
And we had to... There was one girl, she was about, I was 14, she may have been about 12. But I had to teach her how to go to the bathroom.
Wow.
You know, and so
yeah.
watching my parents and our family take care of this family,
right.
that showed that, you know, we have a lot to be grateful for. And since
Absolutely.
Then, I watched my mother take people in her home, clothe people, bathe people, feed people. That's all she did until she took her last breath. Even in the hospital on her dying bed, she was wanted to make sure that this person ate, this person went to school, this, you know. So a lot of what I do is
right.
ricocheted off of my mother.
Right.
May she rest in peace. I just wanted to.
Wow. That is so beautiful. You know,
yeah.
my mom, 2009, January the 3rd, she passed away. But
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, no. Yes, and I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I mean, you know, but the legacy that your mom left is tremendous, and it's expanding. So, I mean, the impact that she had on your life is phenomenal. I mean, it is
absolutely.
Just absolutely phenomenal. Because, I mean, I've talked with any number of people over the last several years. And, you know, there are a lot of people who make contributions in different ways. But
right.
you have taken, you know, a tremendous amount of responsibility upon yourself. And I offer whatever I have as to be of any service to you. And like I say, if there's anything that I or we or whoever can ever do to assist you, because I not only do I want you to succeed, but I mean, and have the support, because you have it, obviously, the support and everything, but I just want to lend my voice in there. And I'm sure there are others, like I say, Ray Dog, and there, Black Magic Woman was trying to get online, and she can't. There's Pure Fire. She's wow. No, you didn't miss it. It's still on Purify. But anyway, there are any number of people, I think, who have a desire to assist, but not the direction, not the information. And you see, when you're teaching, not only are you teaching those mothers and those children, you're teaching a community exactly how even to care, much less
right.
how to effectively care. Yeah.
Right.
So I just appreciate you, little lady. Thank you so much for what you do. But, and see, you gave me, you remember I was telling you, I said, now I want to ask you, how did you get to this point? And that's how you did. That's how you, with your mom and all. And,
yeah.
you know, and like I say, you're going through the community, you're going through the community now, and this goes back to the old adage, you feed a guy, today, feed him a fish today, and he eats today. But you teach that person to fish, and they can feed themselves, you know.
Right.
You know, and as you were saying about the Cambodians, I was thinking, you know, yeah, they were in need of instruction. But they survived
right.
in their homeland based on the skills that they had, even though they might seem to us to be unsanitary, like, you know, but,
right.
you know, they had a strong desire to improve, just an undying desire to improve.
Right.
You know, and,
right.
you rekindle and you re-stimulate that desire in people, I think, by, you know, not only providing them with that vision, that it's possible for them to do better, but the instructions as to how you can go about doing
right.
better.
Right.
You know? And those processes, now what did you say the acronym stands for? S-M-A-R-T again, please? Let me write that down so I want to make sure, because you sent me a brochure a long time ago. Okay,
yeah, single mothers are really trying incorporated. I wanted to say also, how you doing, Pure Fire? This is up front. I don't know if she knew me by my name or not. And I want to thank everybody for calling in. Thank you, you know, for my supporters, my family, my friends for showing me support, because a lot of my family know and some of my friends know that I've been trying to get this off the ground for a very long time. But I wanted to also add in there, there's so many positive and fantastic components of SMART, and one of the components that I really take to heart is thinking for a change. That one of the things that we try to do with the single mothers and the children is to change your way of thinking.
Right.
And, because if you don't change your way of thinking, then you're going to continue in this negative behavior. You're going
right.
to continue committing crimes and abusing yourself and abusing your family if you're not taught to change your way of thinking. And
right.
that's another component of SMART that I really, really like. And that can go from 3 months to 9 months, just going over the different tools that
right.
we provide to help you change your way of thinking so that your behavior will change, what we call cognitive restructure.
Wow.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
we have to, you know, untangle, build back the way that we think. And if we change our way of thinking, then our behavior indeed will change. And that's one of the components of SMART. I love everything about SMART, but I know that it starts from you have to change the way that you think. And I'm always saying that on Tao Talk in some of the conscious rooms. I don't talk too much in the conscious rooms. Mostly I'll just listen. But I may text every now and then to change our way of thinking, you know.
Right, exactly.
So I just wanted to...
Well, you know, though, you were saying, what did you call it, cognitive restructuring?
Cognitive restructuring.
Right. You know, let me tell you that whenever I went into, I told you that I was in a drug treatment center. I mean, maybe
mm-hmm.
I didn't tell you, but I've been in one for 28 days I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went into it when I was like 36 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
I got into some problems at my job, and I had been on my
mm-hmm.
job for like 10 years. But the point that I think I want to make about it is that in all probability, I would have changed my addiction, because I really kind of, in a way, wasn't. I was, but I wasn't. It was an escape mechanism
mm-hmm.
for me,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I was my preference was marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got in trouble for using marijuana, but see, it's okay to drink. So in all probability,
mm-hmm.
what I'd have done had I not been involved with that program, like, and it addressed to a degree what you're talking about. It wasn't specifically said in that way to me, but cognitive restructuring, because I thought I had every coping skill, you know, at 36 years old. I thought I was well equipped. But it provided me with a totally different perspective, which allowed me to explore a different aspect of my personality.
Sure.
That I never had a doorway to prior to that exposure. And so what you do is actually in a way, but you know what? I wanted change. I insatiably, I wanted change. I mean, not just, it was one to keep my job, but because I was tired of, the worrying about getting arrested or worrying or being concerned and going through all the changes and things that I was going through to do what I did, to try to do the Visine trip and, you know, being a, you know, it just was too much of a hassle for me.
Right.
And I'm a simple person. And so after I went into that initially, when I went into my counseling session, and I digress and give you a chance to catch your breath a minute, but, I went into my counseling session, and there was a guy that was a cowboy. And he was long-legged. And he dressed nice. And he had been involved in some of the other stuff. He was an addict, also recovering addict, also. But he was so self-assured. I would call him cocky, okay? But he was real, real self-assured. Skinny, tall dude, had, you know, wore the fancy boots and all and everything. And he asked me, he said, "What are you doing here?" And it was, you know, I was the only brother, of course, in there. And it was about 8 or 10 of us. And I took offense to what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And so I leaned up in my chair because we would have big book study first or whatever the study was at that point. Then we would turn our chairs in a circle and have a little therapy group. First day I was in there, I mean, I was gainfully employed. I didn't steal. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I just smoked and got in trouble. And, you know, so I ended up there, and he looked at me. Just, he had his legs crossed. He was all calm and everything, and I was all tensed up because I was ready to, you know, as we say, go off. And he said, "What are you doing here? Why are you here?" And, you know, I leaned up in my chair, and I looked at him directly. Because I wanted to address him just however he wanted to be addressed, and I said, "Because prejudiced people make me angry," and that's what I said to him, right? This dude didn't even get flustered, Rabia. He was messing with his finger, and he looked at, and he didn't even look up at me. He said, "You know what?" He said, "People don't make you angry." He said, "You make yourself angry."
Absolutely.
And I was like, what?
He's
like, ready to go. I was ready to go. And then I thought about what he said. And you see, I had put all the emphasis on my reaction to what he had said to me. I was all steamed up. I was ready to do the deal, you know. And he said that to me. And it was like, dang.
Well, shut me up. I know, but he's right.
He is.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think one of the things that I got out of what he said to me as I pondered it years later, see, I was 36, I'm 58 now, so that was like 20-some years ago. But one of the things that I got from that as I thought about it later was that I allowed myself to have other people be responsible for my behavior.
Absolutely.
And instead of me accepting the responsibility for my own behavior.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so no matter what the conditions or circumstances were, as long as I could stay into my own you know, a reasonable head, reasonable mind,
mm-hmm.
I could deal with things from a different perspective. I wasn't inclined to be as involved and engaged in a destructive, personal destructive behavior patterns. You know, once I came to incorporate that kind of thinking into my head, and so I began to really appreciate that guy. Another thing that he said, and I will shut up after this, but there was a guy that I detested. This guy, I could not stand this guy for whatever reason, and I told him, I said, you know, man, this guy just gets on my nerves. And he said, yeah. He said, you want to get rid of it? I was like, yeah, I want to get rid of it. He said, well, pray for him every day for 5 days that he has the same things you want out of life. I was like, are you out of your mind? I'm going to pray for this dude? Are you crazy, man? I even like this dude. And he said, well, he said, you want to get clean, right? I said, yeah, I want to get clean. He said, well, do what I tell you. And, you know, so you have to take instructions. You can't, I couldn't take it on myself because I couldn't get my sobriety on myself. So I would pray for this guy. And the way I would pray for him was, God bless this, you know, I had all kinds of names that I gave him. And I did it. And after about 3 days or so, I was tired of praying for him. So I said, well, I'm not going to be mad at him anymore, so I don't have to pray for him. You know, so that kind of got me over my hurdle. But, you know, and so I said that to say this, that you, and I'm, again, so grateful to you because it brings back those kinds of memories to me. You are providing people with tools that not only can they use today, but in years to come, they'll still, you know. And they'll be applying them and passing those tools on to other people.
Absolutely. One of the the things about SMART is, you know, the single mothers are really trying. It's very unique. And one of the unique things about SMART is that we not only provide services for English speaking, but our services are in Spanish.
Wow.
Because out of the research that I have, and I have a great Spanish team. They are some awesome people. And we were at a meeting one day, and one of my friends who is Hispanic, she said, well, but what about the Hispanic? And, you know, and I said, yeah. She said, well, I'll translate it. And she said, but also there are a lot of Hispanic women who are afraid, you know, because maybe of the repercussions of their husbands or family. You know, the Hispanic population try, you know, they really try to keep things within their culture, within their family structure, but more women are beginning to seek help. A lot of the young girls who are having children, they are coming out now. And so when a friend of mine mentioned about the Hispanic population, I was, you know, I said, let's go. So
wow.
Not only do we provide services for English-speaking individuals, we also provide services for the Hispanic population, which I'm very excited about. Also, I wanted to touch upon the SMART communities. The SMART community, I'm trying to remember it because I say it so much, but it's a drug-free environment in which people recovering from addictive disorders live together in order to develop new ways of thinking and practice healthy living in a structured setting. What that means is once the home opens in December, you know, they will hold each other accountable. It is a miniature society in which both residents and staff take the roles of the facilitators. live within the boundaries of the program and hold one another responsible for their actions. It's a process of rehabilitation. Residents are helped to reestablish healthy, functioning lifestyle, life skills, family values, and they will regain their physical and emotional health. So one of the things that that I've noticed in a lot of this research that I've done is that not only, you know, do we need someone to stand in front of us, over us, and point their fingers and tell us what we should be doing and how we should be doing it, but we're doing it within the smart homes. We're doing it collectively, you know, where we hold each other responsible. You know, if somebody's doing something good, then we give them a push-up, you know.
Right,
give
right.
them the two hands up. And if you're doing, if you're demonstrating negative behavior, I'm going to call you on it, you know, just as an awareness, you know, just as an awareness, you know.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I just love everything about SMART and developing SMART over the years. And speaking with people and going to seminars and experiencing some of the things myself and seeing some of the things that are encountered within my own family and my own friends, this is a program that is greatly needed. And
right,
like
right.
I said, one of the big components, Zern, is that we are in this together. It's not
right.
about you and I'm pointing my fingers at you. You know, we're holding each other responsible for our actions. You know,
yeah.
we're helping each other change our way of thinking so that our behavior will change. We're going back to the old school. We're going back to the family values. We're going back to the morals. We're going back to setting realistic goals for yourself. We're going back to communicating with your children and listening to your children. Your children have a voice. One of the things I was telling my staff at one of the meetings was that we are not allowed. It is forbidden. You will get fired if you yell, if you raise your voice at
right.
a child, if you raise your voice at a woman who's having she's going through PMS, and if she do like I do, good grief, if she's going through PMS and she's hollering and she's screaming, that we will not yell and scream at them. They've been damaged enough.
Right.
You know,
wow.
The children screaming, hollering, when they're, you know, throughout some of the programs of SMART, they are taught how to eliminate that whole arena of that yelling. What to
right.
do?
Wow.
What tools to use to deactivate that child or that mother that is screaming, hollering at that particular time? You know, we are trained. The whole
right.
staff of SMART is trained on how to bring them to a calm. You know, one of the
right.
things that I ask everybody that is on the SMART team, and this goes for me because I'm the CEO and I'm the founder, but I'm right there.
Right,
I like to
exactly.
be hands-on. I'd rather be the person in the background and let my PR people do do the talking.
I know. You just too modest.
But,
you are that.
But I try to implement this humbleness that we have to stay humble.
Absolutely.
You know, we have to stay
yeah.
humble. We cannot get so big that we think that we have the authority
right.
to hit, to yell, and to
right.
curse these children and these mothers. No. No.
Hey, sis, let me interrupt you right quick, okay?
Interrupt.
I got a surprise. I got a surprise here. Can you hear me, 562?
562?
562,
hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello? Yes.
Hey, sister, turn your computer down. Just talk to me on the phone. Turn it down a little bit lower.
Okay.
Now, can you hear me? If you can put your phone on speaker. Sister Rabia.
Yes.
This is my oldest son.
Wow. Hello, oldest son.
Hello. I'm sorry, the name is Sister Rabia?
R-A-B-I-A. Uh-huh.
R-A-B, B as in boy, I-A, Rabia.
Oh, Rabia. Oh, my pleasure to meet you. God bless you. I heard you, what you're talking about, and my daughter's listening.
Wow.
And I'm so privileged to be listening to this show right now.
Wow. Well, it's an honor meeting you.
God bless you.
You know,
I am tickled.
My sister, Indy DeClaire, is on there. Let me say about her show right quick, just to interrupt. Don't go away, anybody. Sister Indy DeClaire is on every day, Monday through Saturday at 10 a.m., and she is such a dear person, and I hope that y'all get a chance to make a connection, because I think it'll be very fruitful. But,
that's my oldest,
and, and my baby, and
that's
my oldest, not, well, his daughter, my and his wife, Anita, my lovely daughter-in-law. I love I love all my kids, but this one here, he's a dude. Now, he went through a lot with me.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's
but
good.
You know,
that's
how many children you have? You got a son too, right? I think.
I have one son. Mhm.
Yeah. Okay. But you know, if you go ahead, Brother T, I'm gonna let you take over and do your thing, and I'll just listen. Because Sister Rabia, let me tell you something. You know, I'm just I can't explain to you how delighted that I am, and my other sister India DeClaire is here, and that pure fire, she's here. Oh my God, it's, you know, let me tell y'all, you know, it's, I won't even get into it. I'm going to be quiet for a minute and just let Brother T do his thing, and you do, because what you're saying, he and I, we've talked about, he asked him about his old dad. We talked about stuff like, have we not?
Yes. Yes, we do.
he's a minister, as a matter of fact. But anyway, let me be quiet.
Wonderful.
If you have any questions, T, whatever you like to say, just go ahead and let me be quiet. Please do your thing.
Oh, well, you know, thank you, Dad. And again, Miss, I want to say your name correctly. I'm sorry, Miss
Rabia.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, I don't want to take away from anything, you know, anything that you're doing today, and I just want to what got my attention. Well, I was trying to listen and log on and get everything together over here on my end, and I kind of came in on the part where you were talking about how I guess you manage the SMART program, or you are
right.
The CEO of the SMART program. And you know,
right.
I've been in the management position, but what got me was when you said that you'd rather be in the background and allow people to handle that. And you know, me and my dad, you know, like you said, we talk. I mean, we get into controversial issues, and it'll be to where we won't talk to each other for a little while. But I thank God for that. I'm learning that, you know, nothing breaks our love up, and we have to really go through deep things sometimes to
right.
really see what's going on in our heart. And
right.
what I love is that you are taking time. You know, what you're saying to me is you listen to those people that you're helping.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, you know, by the way, your mannerism, how you want to receive the kids, you know, they have a voice.
That's right.
I'm just so happy, you know, because I guess in my life, the things that I value, you know, are more spiritual, and
mm-hmm.
and you recognize it when you hear it, but when you are surrounded, you know, sometimes in this world that, you know, some people, they don't understand, you know. So I'm glad to
right.
listen to people who do understand and who are doing things,
right.
who are not, you know, just talking about the problem, but our solution. So I commend
right.
you. I'm blessed by you, and I'll be praying for you and the organization.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Down
the line, please. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thank you so much for your kind words. I just think that I have an obligation to God, and my obligation to God is that I have to help people. You know, I believe that my belief is that I was created to worship God. You know, and in my worship to Him, which, you know, I am a Muslim, so I refer to Him as Allah as well, is that to help people. And children, I think that we take for granted our children. Children have a right, and that's my belief. Children have rights, because I used to hear people say things like, I'm not going to tell you again, I'm only going to repeat this, you know, one time. I'm not going to repeat it three times. And I've always been, well, why not repeat it three times? Because you might have to repeat it three times. Your parents
exactly.
repeated things to you 20 times. So
exactly.
if I have to repeat something to a child three times, then I'm going to repeat it 10 times.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And they have a right in being respectful. They have a right to be heard. So I've heard parents say things like, just do what I say. And sometimes a child, in a respectful way, a child might say, well, why do you want me to do it that way? And some parents may feel, because I said so.
Right.
But that's not a good enough answer if you're teaching a child. Because you have to teach them holistically, meaning that you have to teach them not just half of it, but you have to teach them. We have to teach them as a whole, you know. So yes, if you're saying don't go off the porch, Erica, then okay, don't go off the porch because it might be a snakes in the grass, or there's a dog that's running around, or I cannot see you if you're off the porch. You know,
right.
Because when you say things like, it's because I said so, well, I might go off the porch just to see what's going to happen. But
right,
if
right.
you tell me what's going to happen, if you let me know what's going to happen, then that warrants me not to, kind of like, don't go off the porch. But I'm saying those things in regards to the children, that they have a voice too, you know. They and
right.
it's not about I'm being my daughter's friend, I'm being my son's friend. It's about communicating with your children, making sure that our children have the correct understanding about life on life terms. Because I think that we may not, you know, we may think that a child doesn't understand, but these children understand some things.
Right.
You know, and it's our obligation. You know, God made us the parent. He didn't make them our parent. He made us their parent. You know,
right.
So we're obligated under the laws of God to teach our children and to show our children love and to not raise our voice at our children and to not curse at our children and to listen to our children so that they can be better equipped as
right.
they grow older, how to
right.
deal with things throughout life. I could go on and on.
You will get a chance to. You said you're coming back, right? You said,
absolutely.
Did you say you're coming back?
Absolutely. Sure, I'll come back.
Thank you. Yeah, and one of the things I was going to, am I interrupting you, T?
No, I was just going to say, just like you were saying about, you know, it's okay to tell a child over and over. Yes, you need to come back because we need to hear these words with Titty Me because we are children. And, you know, to have your mind renewed, no, it's necessary. You know,
that's right.
I really,
that's
it's
right.
necessary. And sometimes, you know, we get adultish, and I'm 39. You know, I'm almost 40.
Okay.
And I know I'm still a child in certain areas, and I'm happy
right.
about that because I see it as learning. And, again,
sure.
to hear people who understand that line of thinking and care enough to go out and establish something. So, you know, it helps me. It helps motivate me to know that even where I'm at today, at my age, you know, and I know, you know, that it's still a possibility, because I still have desires to help people too. That like-mindedness is blessing me today to see somebody who has that same desire and has carried something out in their life. So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I want to throw this in there right quick. Is that, excuse me, in the 12 steps, one of the things that I had to learn was, and this is why one of the things I had to learn with sobriety is the objective. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that you attain it, the way that you reach it, it can't be oriented toward any particular faith or religion or social status or anything. It you have to reach sobriety. You can be dealing with agnostics. You can be dealing with iconoclasts. You can be dealing with Buddhists, Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
The objective is to reach sobriety. So what happens in order to assist people and is that everything is transcendent. It transcends barriers, all barriers, because when you help someone out, you know, regardless to the Good Samaritan or whomever it was, it doesn't make a difference who, because they need a drink of water, and it doesn't make a difference who gave them the drink of water or who. And when you were talking about children, they need to learn that process that you employ to come to the conclusions that you come to. You know, it's not magical.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not mystical. It's that you went through a process, you analyzed the situation, and you used whatever the criteria were that you normally employ to come to certain conclusions. And they need to know how to develop that sense of reasoning, in my opinion, that sense of logic and rational thinking, so that they when they run into those types of situations, they can employ it as well. If that makes sense.
That's right.
I don't know if it does or not. But, you know, we got 3 minutes, and with Sister Rabia, Brother T, I'm just totally delighted, and I hope that this is not your last trip here.
Oh, I hope not either.
Everything
worked out.
So, thank you.
And Rabia, you know you're going to be always welcome here. And I got some more surprises, and hopefully, you know, maybe if you want to next week, or if you want to, we'll try it in a couple weeks, and you know, whichever way you want to do it, and you know, but we'll talk about it, and I'll be letting people know through the show, you know, what we'll be doing in the coming weeks, hopefully. But again, if you want to give us a call, 347-945-7040, and we're on 7 to 8:30 p.m. Thursdays. And we've had a guest, and I will not provide the last name, Sister Rabia, also known as Upfront and Blunt, who has the SMART program, which stands for, say it please.
Single Mothers Are Really Trying.
Incorporated.
Can I just for 30 seconds?
Please.
I want to, because our website is being upgraded, but if anybody wants to send in cards, if you want to send in any donations, you want to just send a thinking of you card, you know, anything. We have a lot of children that are in need of coach this year. And anything that you will want to provide, the P.O. Box number is 305. It's Smart Incorporated, P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, 19081. And the email address is smart2change@yahoo.com.
Smart.
So I just want to go.
A-R-T-2-Change.
The number 2change@yahoo.
Yahoo. And you know, these shows will be archived. So if you didn't get a chance to hear all of it, I mean, you know, and I just want to let people know, if you didn't get a chance to hear it all, you'll get a chance to check it out, because it'll be archived, and you will. You coming back, please?
I sure will. I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for everyone who called. And I'd like to give a little special shout-out to your son.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Suzanne.
That was
y'all know I'm going to be hitting the phone really after nice. I get off the air. I'm going to be giving y'all some calls, okay?
Okay. Well, thank
but,
you.
Thank you very much,
and have a good night. You're welcome.
Oh, you
anytime.
Nice. Take care.
Nice to meet you.
Blessings.
Thank
blessings.
You.
And
all
see,
right,
I'll hit
night.
You up here in a minute. And Rabia, I'll hit you up here in a little bit if you're not going to sleep. I'll probably wake up
okay.
tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
God
thank
bless.
You.
All right. Hey, T, I'll holler at you later. And I want to say thanks again for everybody that got a chance to listen and tell my baby girl, Miss Bree and Miss Anita, I said hi, I love them. And
we'll
I want to tell everybody, thanks for joining us on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And Sister Annie DeClaire heard... every day, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, wonderful lady, and she has a tremendous amount of information and provocative thinking for you if you get a chance to tune in. Sister Purifier, thank you for joining us, guest 4178. Thank you, Ray Dog and Black Magic Woman. I know you were listening out there. And for all the other listeners, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see you again next week on... the next phase with Ice and Friends, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Thursdays, and much appreciation to you. And with that said, we'll be signing off. Maybe I can get Michael to play again for me here. Hey, T, I'll give you a call in a minute.
All right, Dad.
Love you. God bless you.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them?
Man. wanna make a promise.